With Radio On The Go News, Brian Fincher reporting. Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Nagy says the fall migration of wild birds is a danger sign for poultry producers about the potential for avian influenza exposure. Nagy says the first major outbreak in 2015 saw a lot of contamination between sites, but the most recent outbreak saw isolated exposures in facilities brought on by wild birds.
I think the lessons of the last couple of years would tell us that it's not just during the spring migration when birds are flying north that you can see high path. It's unfortunately also in that fall migration when birds are flying south that you can see it.
He says there are already confirmed cases in two states to the north of us.
In South Dakota and Minnesota. And that's pretty logical. As those birds start to come south, we're going to see an increased threat here in the state of Iowa to our poultry producers. And so it's just a time of high alert, and folks really need to be vigilant in watching the health of their birds and calling us if they see anything or have questions.
Nagy says producers can't take anything for granted when it comes to keeping down the contact with wild birds.
Trying to keep what's outside outside and inside inside. You don't want to track what could be outside into those buildings. That means taking care of your boots. That means securing your buildings. You know, there's any number of things that you can do, but it takes vigilance every single day.
The avian influenza or bird flu can have different strains, but Nagy says he doesn't know yet what the test results show from the early cases.
I have not seen the analysis yet on whether or not this is the same strain as we've seen in previous years, but I think we'll all be watching very closely to understand that.
There were some 77 facilities impacted in the first major outbreak in 2015, with millions of birds destroyed. The most recent outbreak saw 32 facilities impacted. Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Nagy announced that the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship has formed a partnership with Wright County and the Wright County Soil and Water Conservation District to launch the first phase of the Boone River Edge of Field Project. The river runs through western Wright County. The goal of the first phase of this water quality project is to install more than 25 edge of field conservation practices, including bioreactors and saturated buffers in the Boone River watershed. These practices are proven to improve water quality and reduce the loss of nutrients into Iowa's waterways. Iowa's batch and build model modernizes the project management process by installing batches of conservation practices on multiple farms at once, therefore allowing a faster acceleration of water quality progress. Wright County will act as the fiscal agent for the project, will provide contracting oversight for practice installation. The Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship will reimburse Wright County for eligible project construction costs and provide technical design and engineering support. Sunday night, Franklin County Sheriff's Department arrested 46-year-old Jeremy Jansen of Hampton for violation of a no-contact order, for interference with official acts, for possession of a controlled substance methamphetamine, for possession of drug paraphernalia, and for disorderly conduct. Jansen was ordered held at the Hardin County Jail. Tuesday, the Butler County Board of Supervisors will consider a utility permit application from Butler County REC for underground service in the 25,000 block of Quail Avenue, and will consider authorizing the county auditor to transfer over $673,000 from the capital projects to secondary roads fund. Butler County Board of Supervisors meet Tuesday, 9 a.m. at the courthouse in Allison. Today, the Alden City Council will receive insurance premium updates. We'll discuss ideas to apply for a Schiller grant, and we'll consider a voucher for the Main Street paving project. The Alden City Council meets today at 6 p.m. at City Hall. Today, the Iowa Falls City Council will consider on the first reading an ordinance amending provisions pertaining to property maintenance code violations. In other business, the Iowa Falls Council will consider a resolution tentatively approving the sale of the vacant lot at 1014 Main Street in the amount of $1,700. The Iowa Falls City Council meets today, 6:30 p.m. at City Hall. Iowa Valley Community College District President Dr. Christy Fisher is spending her last days on the job before she begins her new position as president of Kirkwood Community College in Cedar Rapids. Fisher, who has been at IVCCD for over 4 years, tells Radio On The Go News the district survived many challenges during that period of time.
had two dorm fires. In my first 3 months here, there had been zero dorm fires prior to that. We had the pandemic, and then the derecho really caused over $1 million worth of damage on our campus in Marshalltown. So those are the hurdles we had to overcome. And when I look at those, and then I think, and we still managed to get over $32 million worth of construction projects done to better serve students in our communities. And that's because our voters voted yes for that in the fall of 2019.
However, Fisher says the state law changed how many times a bond issue could be voted on during a calendar year, which may be a challenge for all the community colleges.
You know, we now can only put those on the ballot in November. And when I think of how transformational the bond projects have been for us at Iowa Valley, I really preferred when we could put those on before dates throughout the year that we could run a bond issue depending on when we have need. That's something that worries me going forward.
The Iowa Valley Community College District includes Marshalltown Community College and Ellsworth Community College in Iowa Falls. The State Historical Society of Iowa has opened a new exhibit in its Des Moines Museum. Civics in Action focuses on Iowans who've made significant contributions to the state and highlights people with disabilities. And Mark Moran files this report.
The State Historical Society of Iowa has opened a new exhibit in its Des Moines Museum. Civics in Action focuses on Iowans who've made significant contributions to the state and highlights people with disabilities. It's the Historical Society's first exhibit after a five-year museum restoration and focuses on people who have shaped the state's history. Museum Director Leo Landis says while countless people and events have shaped Iowa, one person stands out for taking the lead in advocating for herself and others like her. Mia Peterson, who had Down syndrome, became a leader for her own cause when, Landis says, many Iowans had preconceived ideas about people living with disabilities.
And so in seeing Mia's story, we'll understand that there's a really vibrant community of people in our state who just want to live life like everyone else and want to be their own advocates.
Peterson was one of the early members of the now influential Iowa Developmental Disabilities Council and became a national advocate for people living with disabilities. The Civics in Action exhibit runs through 2025. Brooke Lovelace, the council's executive director, grew up with Peterson and says she was influenced by Peterson's tenacity in advocating for those with Down syndrome. Lovelace says keeping Peterson's legacy alive on behalf of people living with disabilities is crucial, and this exhibit reflects that.
You know, she was a pioneer for the self-advocacy movement and for civil rights for people with disabilities, and it's nice to see her recognized as part of Iowa history.
Peterson died of Alzheimer's disease-related symptoms 2 years ago at age 47. Mark Moran reporting.
For Radio On the Go News, Brian Fincher reporting.